Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Internet Radio Nowhere. My name is Jim. I'll be your host. I'm hoping that my my partner from Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Eddie, will be joining me at some point this evening, because I am celebrating a day of extraordinary magnitude, as Eddie would say. But first, let's get right off with the music. Here's Bruce, Little Radio Nowhere, to start us off.
Wants to talk about pain. I had a gallstone the size of a baseball.
Well, gallstone, yes. Gallstones are for pussies. When I had the shingles, you see me in here complaining to Phil about it, huh? Did you?
Shingles, schmingles. When I had my ulcers, I was farting razor blades.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack.
'cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, 'cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack.
Oh, yeah, Ray Charles. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back. So I'm at work today, and it's it was about 1:30, and I get an email from my supervisor, and it says that we're shutting it down for the day at about 3:30, which we do on occasion on Fridays, so obviously I'm pretty happy about that. Then we get an email about 20 minutes later that we're going to shut it down at 3 o'clock instead of 3:30. So I'm like, ah, even better. I'm all about leaving early. Then about 2 o'clock, I'm standing in my little cubicle, my own little piece of hell, and I hear the CFO of my company in our office, and she's gathering everyone together, and she says, is everyone here? And she looks at me and she says, "Oh, there's Jim. Jim, come sit with us for a second." And she takes us all into our little conference room in our office, and she sits us all down and says, "I just want to let you all know that we have decided to make a change, and today is your boss's last day, effective immediately." Now, I don't know, you guys haven't heard me talk too much about about my job, but I like my job, but I could not stand my boss, not at all. He's just a mean son of a bitch, and it created a lot of tension in our office, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of problems, and finally the word got through to the upper executives of the company, and they decided to make today to make a change. So that is why I am celebrating this evening. Hence the song "Hit the Road, Jack," and I've got another one just for him in just a second now. And I think that's why the rainbow that I was just telling you guys about in the chat room, I think that's why the rainbow is over my house, because the clouds have parted in my life today. All is well. So I'm in a good mood. The beer is cold. The rainbow is out. And good evening to you guys in the chat room, Coochie, Wally, and Loon. So far, it's just us. I think Eddie's going to be here. He told me he would be here, so hopefully he will be here shortly. We'll see who else pops in. But I've got another song just for the occasion. Let me just pull it up here on the switchboard. And here we go. There we go.
Some need dollar bills, lying in their clothes. not only munition wells. I don't smell the morning roses. While I see is, while I see is, do I horses in a line?
That was Beck, Farewell Ride, and we were just talking about it in the chat room. I'm not a big Beck guy. He's got a few songs that I like, but that song was, they played it like as they, I don't know if you guys were familiar with, well, I'm sure you heard of the show The Shield that was on FX for quite a few years. I don't know if you guys watched it. It was a great show, and I like Michael Chiklis. He's a good actor. But when they were promoting the series finale, they would play that song, and it was just... It's just one of those songs that the minute I heard it, I just like immediately fell in love with it. It's just a great song. And I thought it was appropriate. The Farewell Ride, as my boss was given his papers today and sent off into the sunset. And I couldn't be happier. That's why we're going to have some fun tonight. Shield, great show. And I loved the way it ended. For the a little brief synopsis, if you didn't watch it, he was a dirty cop, basically. He was a bad cop, and I just want to if you're watching me on the video, this rainbow that's over my house is unbelievable. I might even be able to show you guys this on video. It's kind of, I don't know if you'll see that, but let me see. Yeah, you can almost make it out. Pretty cool. If you're watching the video, you can see it. There it is. Oh yeah, you can see that pretty good now. If you click on my video, you can see I'm showing it to you on the video. But anyway, on The Shield, Michael Chiklis, he played a bad cop. In the very first episode, he actually kills another cop. And they wound up robbing an Armenian money train at one point. And the whole series was just, you know, him, you know, doing all these dirty things. And then towards the end of the show, he cuts a deal with... I think it was the ICE squad. He cuts a deal for immunity, and if he tells them, you know, everything he's done, they'll grant him immunity, and he figures that's his way out. Yeah, I'm glad you got to see that. That does look pretty cool, huh, guys? And he's sitting there, and he tells them all the dirty things he's ever done, and then in the end, they kind of screw him. And instead of being able to work out on the streets and bust drug dealers and things like that, like he'd done for so many years, he's working a desk job. And as the show closes, he's in a in a cubicle farm, basically, in a shirt and tie, and just sitting there all by himself. And it was just he had no friends left. All his friends had abandoned him for being a rat, and his family had taken off on him. It was just a great ending to a great show. But is everybody, you guys, okay? You guys are all right with my with the audio sounding good? Okay, good. Yeah, sometimes there seems to be a little bit of a delay. I don't think it's too long, but I don't know. But I'm glad you guys were able to pick up that rainbow on the video, because it's pretty cool looking. Actually, and now somebody asked me before, is there a double rainbow? And yes, there are two of them there, although the second one's just not, you can't see it as well. Anyway, so good evening to all of you guys. Lone Ranger, Anti-Woot is here, Coochie Wally's here, expecting Eddie's shortly. And yes, Coochie, the commish was a great show as well. And I had gone back and watched, about 2 years ago, they put out the first maybe three seasons of it on DVD, and they hadn't put the rest of the show out on DVD. And I don't know if they've done it yet, but I love the commish. That's where I first really got into Michael Chiklis. And he also played John Belushi in the movie Wired, based on the Bob Woodward book. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie Wired. It was, you know, basically a look at John Belushi's life. And that actually got Michael Chiklis blackballed for quite a while in Hollywood. That's why he didn't work for a long time. And even after the commish, with the success of the commish, because it was on for, I think, five years. And even after that, he had a hard time finding work, because he's been kind of blackballed by Hollywood, because that movie exposed a lot of people and a lot of things that were going on, you know, the drug culture that surrounded Hollywood and Saturday Night Live. So he found himself, you know, kind of on the outside looking in for a long time. But Michael Chiklis, he was good as The Thing, too, although those Fantastic Four movies were just terrible. And if you're a Family Guy fan, he also does a lot of voices on Family Guy. He was the voice of Big Fat Paulie, the mobster's son that Peter has to hang around with, and they wind up accidentally putting a hit out on Lois. And when Peter becomes a fisherman, and he has that rival fisherman that he keeps going back and forth with, that was Michael Chiklis as well. And if you've ever seen the episode with the Leafers that come up from New York to go to Quahog to see the Leafs change color, he's one of the characters that comes up from New York doing a New York accent, which is kind of ironic because he's a New England guy. So it was kind of funny to see him playing a New Yorker on a show that's based in New England. So anyway, a couple of things we'll talk about tonight. And if you guys heard the show last week, it's kind of ironic. I opened the show with a rant on the MTV show, The Jersey Shore, and how despicable I think it is and how much I hate those people that are on that show. And that exact same day, that little bitch, Snooki or whatever the fuck her name is, she got arrested in Seaside Heights, and she pulled the "Don't you know who I am" card, which I love. And she says, she told the cops, "I made Seaside Heights what it is today." And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. I mean, you know, Seaside Heights has just become a friggin' commercial for that show. You know, it used to be at least a semi-cool place to hang out, and, you know, there used to be some good bars there and good food and rides and arcades and everything. But now it's just every place is a Jersey Shore T-shirt shop or whatever. And I couldn't believe it the last time I was there. So I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, we were talking about her last week on the show, and she wound up getting herself arrested the same day. She was probably listening to the show and just, you know, got upset about it and headed out and got herself arrested. So we'll talk about this. Also a couple of things in the news that I wanted to talk about, but I was kind of waiting for, see if Eddie comes around, and I'll kind of save that for when he gets here. And, because I always like to get his thoughts on some of these stories that I wanted to talk about. And I'm just going to – I'm telling you guys about this rainbow, and I'm just keeping an eye on the weather because I am sitting out on my patio while I do the show, and there is a little bit of rain moving in, so I got to keep an eye on that. And I think one of my hot neighbors just came home. Sorry I can't put her on the video, but anyway. All right. Let's go to a little more Bruce Springsteen. This is one of the songs I wanted to play this last week, but I couldn't find the live version that I wanted. This is my favorite live Bruce Springsteen song, best listened to at Ear Splitting Decibels. So here you go, 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Yeah. your mom to worry, all right? When she worries, she says things like, I told you so, and stop doing that, I'm asleep.
Then there are some things you don't want to hear. Some things you just flat don't want to hear. You don't want to come home from work and hear,
honey, remember how we told the children never to play on the railroad track?
You don't want to be sitting in your doctor's office and hear this. Well, Jim, there's no reason why you shouldn't live another 20 to 30 years. However, you will be bleeding constantly from both eyes. Here's something I don't want to hear.
I'm pregnant, you're the father, and I'm going to kill all three of us.
Calm down, have some dip.
Honey, it's the police. They have a search warrant, and the 300 kilos of cocaine are still sitting out in the living room.
Here's something nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear this. Try to think back to when this was appropriate to your life. You and your fiancé have been invited to your mom and dad's house for dinner for the first time. Halfway through dinner, your fiancé stands up and says,
I'll be right back. I gotta take a dump.
There seems to be no really genteel way of announcing publicly a dump. And frankly, I'm not impressed with people who tell me what they're going to do when they go to the bathroom in the first place. Doesn't that bother you, people who announce that, I'll be right back, I'm going to take a shit. Never mind! Do what you have to do and leave me out of it. And don't describe it when you come back. Boy, you should have seen. Never mind! It set off the smoke alarm. Never mind!
It's George Carlin. Yeah, there is no good way to announce that you're going to take a dump. There is no good way to announce it. And the worst part is when you're at somebody's house and you can't avoid having to do it. And then you worry about how to cover up the smell of it. Because when you're at somebody else's house and they have to, and you have to do it, you have to take a shit really bad. There's just no way to, you know, it's got to smell. You know, it's not one of those ones that doesn't smell. It's always going to be like the worst, like night, you know, the shit you take after a night of drinking and you went to Denny's at 3 o'clock in the morning and you haven't gone all day. You know, it's that kind of foulness. And, of course, you don't have a book of matches in your pocket to disguise the smell, and you're looking around for a can of hairspray or a room deodorizer or Febreze or something, anything, bouquet of roses. Yeah, there's no way to disguise that. But you were asking – who was asking me about – was it – oh, Woot. Anti-Woot was asking if my neighbors always wonder what I'm doing out here, and yeah, I do get some strange looks, but I did have, there was one couple that lives in an apartment a couple of doors down, and there was one night they came walking by, and they were talking, and the guy was talking, and the girl turns to him and looks at him and goes, shh, be quiet, he's on the radio. I'm like, how does she know that? She must be a fan of the show. So, but yeah, I do get some odd looks. The guy sitting out here on his patio with his headphones on, especially when it's 111 degrees, and I'm sitting out here talking about hockey or God knows what, and my neighbors do wonder occasionally what I'm doing out here, and it was kind of funny when I was in LA at the draft. I was sitting at the when we did the live show, I was sitting out in front of the ESPN zone. And this girl came, I was sitting there talking and we were doing the show, and this girl comes walking over like after I'd stopped talking, and she just looks at me and she goes, are you on the radio? And I just looked at her and I said, why, yes, I am. She's like, oh, I was wondering what you were doing. I said, well, obviously you don't recognize me. I'm E.J. Raddick. She said, no, you're not. I know who he is. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm not him. But anyway, and I put in the chat room before, but if, in case anybody missed it, as far as Blue Shirt Banner Radio goes, just a reminder, we've got Ron Greshner on August 18th. And then just yesterday I was able to I talked to Emil Francis, and he's going to join us again on August 25th. And if you didn't hear any of the Emil's been on with us twice, and if you've missed both of those episodes, Emil is an absolute joy to talk to. He's got stories like you wouldn't believe. Some of them he'll repeat at times. We've heard a couple of his stories a couple of times. But he's funny, he's charming, he's very engaging, and he usually takes up an entire show. We'll usually get him on the phone before we go on the air, and we usually don't say goodnight to Emil until we're off the air. So it'll be a lot of fun to talk to him. We're gonna get we'll hear a few stories. It'll be interesting to hear. He's the guy that drafted Ron Greshner, so I'm anxious to talk to him about that. And when we talk to Greshner, we'll see if he's got any good Emil Francis stories. So we got that coming up. We got a couple of guests to get us through August, because this is kind of a nothing month as far as hockey goes. There's usually not much going on. And then before you know it, training camp, September 15th is the official start of training camp. So it won't be long now for that. I see the just looking around the sports world, I see the Yankees lost to the Red Sox tonight, and I see the Mets have lost again to the Phillies. The Mets apparently are just kind of mailing it in at this point, so it must be August. I don't know what's going on with the Yankees. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan, but it just seems like all of a sudden the Yankees have just kind of fallen apart. And I guess they're not even in first place anymore. I took a look. Tampa Bay's moved past them into. Oh no. They are tied for first, I guess. According, I'm looking at the MLB standings. Looks like they're tied for. No, actually, Tampa Bay is a half a game behind them. So, but it seemed like just a couple weeks ago the Yankees couldn't lose, and Tampa Bay was on a bad losing streak. So it was kind of strange. Now all of a sudden the Yankees have kind of fallen. You know, now they've caught up to each other. So, and like I said, the Mets apparently are cashing it in. They're plummeting through the standings. They were seven games above 500 at one point. Now they're a game below, and they made no moves at the trade deadline, which that's real smart. And I thought they should have been sellers. They should be looking for, you know, to see what they could get for some of these big contracts like Beltran and even Johan Santana. I mean, honestly, at this point, what good is Johan Santana doing them? I mean, this is not a team that is a year away from contending for a title. So what do you really need with a guy like him for? You're wasting his time, and you're wasting the money, spending it all. You know, you kind of compare it to, you know, for Ranger fans, kind of compare it to Henrik Lundqvist. You know, they're paying him all this money, and, you know, they just keep losing and losing, and you kind of wonder, you know, they're wasting the best years of his career, I guess is the best way to put it, with Santana. And yes, R.A. Dickey has been great for the Mets, and I just love the headlines I can come up with when Dickey wins. You know, like Dickey pounds the Braves, Mets pound Braves with their Dickey, you know, Dickey whacked by Phillies, things like that. So football season is starting to get underway, or at least training camps are underway. The Giants started over the weekend. That's good to see. Although I saw today that Rich Seibert, I think he broke a bone in his hand or something. They don't know how long he's going to be out. And Sean O'Hara, the center, is still out. I'm not sure that's the worst thing in the world for the Giants. I think they're getting a little, as much as I love those guys and that offensive line that was so great for them, you know, in the Super Bowl run, they're starting to get a little older now. And, you know, it's time to start looking at some, be out in a minute, time to start looking at some replacements. So probably not the worst thing in the world. They got the tackle that they drafted last year, William Beattie, I think is his name. Hopefully he can get some reps and see if he's, you know, you got to find out if this guy can start in the league. And I think they're going to have to move David Deal back over to guard. He wants to stay at tackle because that's where he's been the last couple of years, but he's not a true tackle. He's a guard. And anytime the Giants play a team with a good speed rusher on the end, Deal gets beat every time. He'd be better off at guard and get a true tackle in there. But see, I also read that Deal wants to stay at tackle because if he moves to guard, he gets paid $1 million less. So, yeah, you heard the honking. That's why I said, be out in a minute. It's just somebody out here in the parking lot. Let's see. We got about an hour and 20 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, same number for Blue Shirt Banner Radio, 646-478-4692. Whatever you guys want to talk about, I'm up for it. And like I said, I'm hoping Eddie will be here at some point, and then we'll bring him in and talk to him a little bit. I'm going to play another Bruce tune for you as soon as I can find it here on the switchboard. Here's one of his newer ones. This is Working on a Dream.
Gentlemen, seen your midterm grades yet?
Oh, they're not posted yet, sir.
I've seen them.
Mr. Kroger, 2 C's, 2 D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class. Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Mr. Hoover, president of Delta House, 1.6, 4 C's and an F. A fine example you set. Daniel Simpson Day has no grade point average. All courses incomplete. Mr. Blue... Mr. Blutowski. 0.0. Now I want you to tell Mrs. Stratton and Mr. Schoenstein exactly what I'm about to tell you now.
What's that, sir?
You're out. Finished at Faber, expelled. I want you off this campus at 9 o'clock Monday morning.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. You are listening to Internet Radio Nowhere. My name's Jim. We got about an hour and 20 minutes to go or so, and we've been talking about a few different things. I'm still hoping that Eddie's going to show up, and I appreciate you guys hanging out with me here on a Friday night. We are celebrating, in case you missed it at the top of the show. My boss was fired today, and I am very, very, very happy about that. it was came as quite a shock, but it was just like a humongous weight had been lifted off our office today, and so we've got reason to celebrate tonight. I am certainly doing that. I hope you are too. Hope you guys are enjoying whatever libations you enjoy. The number, if you want to call in, 646-478-4692. Talk about whatever you guys care to discuss. And we'll get to some topics of the day. And, okay, I see Anti-Woot that you want. You just want to stay on hold to listen to the show, right? Just make sure I don't want to put you on if you don't want to be on. So just let me know. But I see you on hold there. Okay. Let's get back to – we're going to play a little got a couple more clips for you. I was playing – last week I played a couple of Bob Newhart clips, and I was telling you guys I'm actually a big fan of his stand-up, and I went and found a couple of more good ones, and I'm going to play those. I'm going to play one of them now, and then we'll play one in a little while. This is one he did about the Wright brothers. This one's pretty funny.
I got thinking about inventions. Now, inventions today are handled entirely different than they were, say, 100 years ago. They set up new product corporations, they have sales promotion firm, and they look at the invention in a business-like way. And this got me to thinking, supposing the Wright brothers had gone to a new product corporation to market their new invention called the airplane. I think if they had, a guy from the sales promotion firm would have talked to him on the phone, something like this. Hello, who is this, Orville? Where's Willard? Wilbur, I'm sorry. And he'll be on late at the bicycle shop all week, huh? I talked to the guys here at the office, and we're real excited about this thing. We really think you got something. Well, we got a couple questions. I think you pretty much agree with us that the only way to make any loot on it is to start booking passengers as soon as possible. Right. Yeah, well, we may pick up a little on the baggage gimmick, you know, if we set it low enough, but not enough to make it worthwhile. Well, I got a couple questions. Now, all the pictures we got show either you or Wilbur lying on the wings. Now, when we start booking passengers, they will, huh? Well, if we're going to cloud them for 75, 80 bucks to the coast, you know, I don't know how they'll go for lying on the wings like that. Yeah. How many could you handle, do you suppose? Five on either side. That's top, huh? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's your end of it. I don't want to get into that. Listen, is there any way of putting a John on it? Well, Jerry came up with an idea, which I kind of like. Maybe we could set up a little snob appeal thing and get, you know, maybe two classes, one with a John, one without. You know? You see what I mean? Yeah, right away, we got two problems. Obviously, how the hell did they get back to it, the first one? And secondly, you're going to be flying over cities, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, some poor clown walking down the street, you know. Well, let's put it this way, bad press. You see what I mean? Well, you think, listen, how are things coming on the plane? at Kitty Hawk last week? How'd it go? 105 feet, huh? That's all. Do the 12 guys still have to push it down the hill? They do, huh? Well, see, that's going to cut our time to the coast. I mean, if we got to land every 105 feet. All right, well, listen, you work on it and get back to me. All right, I'll be talking to you, Orville. Goodbye.
Or Halle Berry in her Catwoman suit. back to Tyson and your cozy tiger bed. And then we're gonna find our best friend Doug, and then we're gonna give him our best friend hug.
You guys were having a hard time hearing me. I think we had an audio issue. Sorry. We are back. All right. You heard Bruce Springsteen's Out in the Street. Then you heard a little bit the Tiger song from The Hangover, which never gets old. And then the theme song from the Office. Let's try again, ladies and gentlemen. One of our longtime listeners on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and now he is joining us here tonight on Internet Radio Nowhere. Anti Woot, good evening.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Good, how are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for calling in. Now, you're in Hawaii, correct?
Yes.
Now, do you live there? I know you were in Japan, too, for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I just got back from Japan a couple weeks ago.
Okay, now... are you in the military, or is it a work thing, or do you just like to travel the world, or are you independently wealthy?
No, I just finished college in December, so I decided to take a little vacation.
Okay, so where did you go to college?
University of Hawaii.
Oh, okay. So you went to Japan. You were in Japan on vacation at the end of college, and now. Okay, now college is over and you're back in Hawaii. Now, are you from Hawaii, or did you just go to school there and you're staying there?
I'm from Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you become a Ranger fan?
It's a funny story. I actually grew up a Kings fan because it's the only team that was shown on TV here, and a big fan of Luke Robitaille and Wayne Gretzky. And when they both went over to New York, kind of followed their careers, and then all of a sudden I became a Ranger fan.
You just latched on to that winning tradition the Rangers have of year after year, the dynasty, and you couldn't let go.
Pretty much.
The Rangers just sucked you in, and there was no getting out of it. Nick has showed up in the chat room. Good evening, Nick. Good to see you. So that's cool. So you're from Hawaii. And you were born there?
Yes.
Okay. Which are you in Honolulu? I don't know a whole lot about Hawaii, so forgive my ignorance. Are you in Honolulu? Or are you on one of the other islands?
Honolulu, yeah.
Basically, all I know about Hawaii is what I saw in the Brady Bunch and Dog the Bounty Hunter and Magnum P.I., I guess. But most of us that live on the mainland, unless we've been to Hawaii, that's about all we know about Hawaii.
I think it's the only island I could live on. The other islands are a little too slow for me.
Oh, okay. So do you have the center ice package that you get to watch the Rangers all the time, or do you kind of follow them on the internet?
I subscribe to the NHL Game Center, so I try and check out the games live on the computer when I can, but if not, I try and catch them on the replay.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. So what else is going on? What's the weather like in Hawaii?
It says it's like 80-something degrees, but I swear it's hotter today. It's been pretty hot. It's not as hot as Japan, though. Japan was just, like, ridiculous.
Now, how hot is it in Japan?
I think it was, like, 95 or 96 degrees when I left with, like, 100% humidity.
Okay,
and, it's pretty rough.
It's like Texas.
Yeah.
Like Texas hot. I have to go to Nashville for work on I'm actually going on Sunday morning. And I was looking at the weather there, and the 2 days I'm there, Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be 97 both days with like 100% humidity. It's just going to be fucking miserable.
Oh my gosh! Better bring a bunch of extra undershirts there.
Yeah, really. I mean, I lived in Florida for 6 years. I lived in South Florida, which is hot and humid during the summer, but the temperature never gets over like 91 or 92 degrees, and the humidity usually doesn't get much above 90%, and every day without fail, it rains, or almost every day. So at least you get a break, and it's not as hot as – South Florida is just not as hot and humid as other places I've been. Texas is just awful during the summer, and I was in Jersey last month, or June I was in Jersey, and it's just awful. I mean, it was like 97, 98 degrees every day with 100% humidity. Riding around in my son's pickup truck with no air conditioning. I mean, I was ready to put my pants on my head like Chevy Chase in Vacation.
That's ridiculous.
LeBron Blows is here, another Blue Shirt Banner Radio member. Good evening, LeBron. Since you've never called into Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and I know we try and stay away from hockey on these Friday night shows, but I'll ask you anyway, since we've got you on the air. What do you think about? Give me your opinion on what the Rangers have done this summer. What you think?
I'm kind of mixed feelings about it. You know, I mean, I feel like a lot of people want them to, you know, bring up the youth, and you know, there's this big youth movement now that, you know, all the free agents and everything, they're not really working out for us. So, you know, everybody is putting a lot of trust in the youth now, but, you know, I still feel like we're a piece away maybe from, you know, a better balance between the two. Like, I think we didn't do enough through free agency of what we needed, and we're putting a little too much trust in, or too much, you know, into the young guys, I think.
Well, you know, when we had Rick Carpinello on a couple weeks ago, he made a good point. He said, you know, the Rangers brought you know, three young guys onto the team last year: Gilroy, Delzato, and Anisimov. And you know, if they bring, you know, they could have two rookies this year as well. And if you're bringing two rookies onto the team every year, that's pretty good. You know, especially with, you know, then they've got Ethan Werrick and Chris Kreider in the pipeline on the way, and then, you know, McElrath and Stepan is on, you know, so. You know, the youth movement's there, but, you know, it's coming along slowly. But, you know, of course, they're also handcuffed by, you know, the three big contracts that are on that team right now, not counting Lundqvist, of course, because at least he's serviceable. You know, at least they're getting something for they're getting return on their money with Lundqvist as opposed to the other three.
Yeah, that's true. I think that, you know, I mean, if people are going to put so much belief in the youth, you know, and bringing the guys up, you know, people are going to have to suck it up a little bit. You know, at the end of last season, people were getting a little crazy. You know, they're saying, oh, this team's terrible, we need to tank. You know, they should just lose. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, you need to show a little patience, especially with, like, MDZ, you know, and all those other young guys that came up, especially on defense.
Right. No, I agree with you. And, you know, I don't – I just want to see improvement this season as far as development goes. I'm completely okay if they miss the playoffs again this year. I think I wanted to see them make the playoffs last year because the East was weak and they were right there. And I really did think that if they got in the playoffs, anything could happen. You know, I was on record as saying that if they got the Devils in the first round, they were definitely getting by the Devils. I guaranteed that. You know, we saw what the Flyers did, and I know everybody says, well, the Rangers weren't as good as the Flyers. I understand that, but just the example that the Flyers set that once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen, you know, because it's a whole new season. You got a clean slate and, you know, you get a couple of lucky bounces in a game here and you steal a game here and there. And, you know, you can find yourself getting fairly deep into the playoffs. But this year, I'm kind of taking it with, you know, I'm okay with them missing the playoffs. I just want to see guys like Delzato and Gilroy and Anisimov and whoever else, you know, hopefully some of the other young players maybe make the team. Maybe Grachev, maybe Stepan, maybe McDonough. I don't know. But I just want to see improvement. That's all. If they miss the playoffs again, that's fine as long as, you know, they're putting in the effort and I see guys making improvements, I'll be okay with it because, you know, they've got a couple of guys who are on the downside. And so, you know, you don't know what you're going to get like out of Drury this year, and you don't know what you're going to get out of Roosevelt again, if he's still with the team. So, you know, as long as the younger guys are developing, I'll be okay with missing the playoffs this year.
Yeah, same here. I mean, but I think, you know, the rest of the fans, we just really need to suck it up and, you know, kind of hope for the future a little bit. If we're going to put that belief in them.
Exactly. All right. I have a question for you from the chat room.
Okay.
Jeff Diamond, the Cutter, wants me to ask you about the Japanese sumo scandal.
Japanese sumo scandal. Well, last thing I heard when I left Japan was something about, you know, all the high official guys were betting on baseball, and it's this huge scandal over there. And Japanese news is like nothing like American news. I mean, one thing like this will dominate the news for weeks, like sometimes even months. I mean, because there's not very many things that go on like that. So. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of sumo guys crying on the television, you know, asking for forgiveness. And, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal over there.
I didn't know anything about it, so you've enlightened me. So there you go, Jeff. There's your answer on the Japanese sumo scandal. So, all right, well, Woot, I'm going to play a couple more songs and few more comedy bits, and hopefully Eddie will join us at some point. Do you want to stay on hold and listen to the show, or are you listening on the net?
I'll listen on the net. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye. That was the Anti-Woot with his debut appearance on internet radio. All right. I wanted to – this was kind of a cool story that I came across on the internet today, and I was going to wait for – I was going to save this for when Eddie was here, but – Since I don't know if he's coming or not, I figure we'll talk about it now. I just thought this was kind of cool. There was a family in they asked to remain anonymous in this story, so I don't even think this says where they lived. But their family home, they lived in this house that had been in their family since the 50s, I believe. And they were... over the years, you know, they had paid off the house, but then they took out a second mortgage on the house to start up a business. And like a lot of businesses, small businesses in the last, you know, few years with the economic times, the business went under. They couldn't pay the mortgage on the house, and they were actually going to lose their house. The bank was foreclosing on them. And they were packing up their house, and they were going through the attic, and they came across a copy of Action Comics number 1. Now, if you do or don't follow, I'm not a big comic book guy, but Action Comics number 1 is the first issue that Superman ever appeared in. And apparently, it's one of the most valuable comic books that's out there. And there's only so many copies of this comic book still around. And they've come to find out that this comic book is worth I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000. So they'll be able to sell. They've already sold the book, and they got a. I think they sold the book to a company that'll put it up for auction. But just by going through their attic as they were packing up their house, they found a comic book that was worth enough money for them to save their house and not have to move out of their family home. So I thought that was just a kind of a cool story that I came across on the internet today, and I figured I'd share it with you guys. So we got about 53 minutes to go. You're listening to Internet Radio Nowhere, and we are done with the Bruce portion of the evening. And now tonight, we'll just like last week, we're going to stick to the format. Second half of the show, we'll get into a little Jimmy Buffett. Tonight, not as off the wall as last week. Last week, I kind of pulled some of the really unknown songs or lesser known songs to play. Tonight, I'll play a few more that you may or may not have heard before, but I'm going to start with one that I did play last week just because I like this song. Here's Please Take Your Drunken 15-Year-Old Girlfriend Home. I forgot that song cuts off really early. All right, here's a little another show. Daniel Potts.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show, coast to coast. Thanks very much for joining us. With us in the studio, comedian Daniel Tosh, veteran stand-up comedian.
Oh, you're just being nice.
Born in Germany.
Well, that's a funny comedy town. Tell about that. Well, we love to march.
How long did you live there?
2 years.
No, so you don't remember much about it.
Nine.
Where'd you grow up? What state?
Florida.
All over Florida.
Oh, man, beautiful down there.
Yeah.
Just the homes, the people, rich with culture.
You love it.
Yeah.
Daniel Tosh, you've been on Letterman.
A handful of times. Yeah. I was on The Tonight Show on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
With the First Lady, Laura Bush.
Really? Really?
And let me just tell you this, testing material on the Secret Service, not such a good idea.
Not funny. All right, loosen up, Blue Team. Well, how's your career going?
Oh, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's like I don't even know what I'm going to do with all this. Money doesn't buy happiness, okay? Mm-hmm. That phrase should end with just kidding. Because money does. It buys a wave runner. And have you ever seen a sad person on a wave runner?
No.
No.
He answered quickly. Think about it. Now have you? You can try to frown on one of those things. They're awesome. Money buys. You ever seen a homeless person skip?
No.
They
no.
don't. They're not. I once saw a homeless person start to skip and a bottle hit him right in the head. He forgot the rules. He'll remember next time. Yeah, I threw it. I don't care. There's no reason he should be happier than me. Because I'm rich. Spiritually. You ever seen it? I love when girls say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I'm not honest, but you're interesting. What's that cider?
You can't let those go by too quickly. But these are profound truths. Yeah. You're throwing them away like jokes.
Oh, come on.
Did you hear what he said?
I heard him.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
he didn't
my
laugh.
God. I'm not religious.
She didn't
I'm
laugh
spiritual.
She's spiritual.
She's spiritual.
No, I'm religious.
Then spiritual.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but you see, understand the role he took there.
I understand. I laugh.
Do you know how rich I want to get?
How rich do you want to get?
People want homes and cars. I just want to get rich enough in life that I can afford to release a dozen doves every time I walk into a room. People be like, did you see that guy come out of the bathroom? That was beautiful. I bet that's John Woo's kid. And we wonder why other countries hate us. Like, we have a game show in our country called Survivor.
Uh-huh.
And we have a game show in our country where you can win $1 million for surviving 30 days in a place where people already live. And that speaks volumes. Excuse me, can I have some bread? I've been here for 60 years. No, this is a game. We're from America. We don't have our cell phones. This is hard.
So that answers the question.
Daniel Tosh is our guest. We're going to let Daniel take a breather while Christy grabs a couple news headlines. I'm still cherishing those jokes.
Oh, yes.
God, those are so mm-hmm. funny.
Way down here, you need a reason to move. Feel a fool, running your stateside game. Lose your load, leave your mind behind, baby Jane. Oh, Mexico, it's not so simple, I just got to go. Sun's so hot, I forgot to go home. I guess I'll have to go now. America.
That's Jimmy Buffett's version of James Taylor's Mexico. And Loon asked me if I'd ever heard James Taylor's version, and of course I have. I think James Taylor was a pretty big hit for him back in the mid-70s, and Buffett was on his Barometer Soup album in 1995, I think it was. And it was funny because when Jimmy Buffett was promoting the Barometer Soup album, I think he was on the Tonight Show, and he did a song, and then he was sitting talking to Jay Leno, and Jay asked him why he decided to do a version of Mexico on his new album, and he said because James Taylor needed the money, which I thought was pretty funny. But him and James Taylor are actually they're actually pretty good friends, and James Taylor and his son, who I believe his name is Ben Taylor, they both sing backup on a song that Jimmy Buffett did on his Banana Wind CD that's called False Echoes. It's a really good song. It's a song about Jimmy Buffett's grandfather who had just recently died before that CD came out. It was False Echoes, all about J.D. Buffett's time in the Merchant Marines, I want to say. I am not going to play Air Supply. I refuse. But since I do aim to please, I was able to get this uploaded. Here you go, guys.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp there beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar sauce. Some people claim that there's a wall to blame, but I know nobody's fault. Don't know the reason. Stayed here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican beauty. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar sauce. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. Now I think, hell, it could be my fault. Stepped on a pop top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Wasting away. Searching for my lost.
yes, there is a lost verse to that song. I just put it out for you guys in the chat room. If you download if you can find the live version that is on his live CD called Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, he sings it on there. So that, but yeah, there is a lost verse to Margaritaville. It was cut out of the song when they made it a single. It's the first song of Jimmy Buffett's that was actually released as a single, and they had to cut that verse out to make it short enough to play on the radio. So there you have it, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville.
Howdy, cowpokes. I know I shouldn't be interrupting in the middle of a song, but I got to tell you something. I know a lot of you out there really love this music, but I just don't get it. Explain it to me. And maybe it's because I went to college and I never drove a truck and had sex with my daddy's sister, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think I'm the man for this job. So this is your old pal Hopalong Howie saying I quit.
Women and fish, you could never catch either one of them.
I have laid more pipe in this town than Wabashaw Plumbing.
My girlfriend sent me to get a container of milk today. Want to hear about it? You don't? I want you to shove your head up your ass if you don't want to hear about it. Because I'm going to talk about it. And I might talk about it for a fucking hour now. Yeah, she sent me to get milk. I figured, all right, 2 minutes out of my day. It don't mean nothing. So I walk in, right? I go over to the milk. Now, milk's come a long way. I mean, normally, she does that. But I figured I'll be a nice guy. You could have a nervous breakdown in the milk department, you know that? You got all kinds of milk. You got buttermilk, skim milk, low fat, 2% fat, no fucking fat whatsoever. Because the homogenized shit nobody wants to know from anymore, you know? That's the old shit. Nobody's drinking that no more. And with each time they take a little fat out of the milk, they charge you like another buck, those pricks. Now, how do I know there's no fucking fat in no fat milk? You see what I'm saying? So you know what I do? I take the homogenized container. Nobody's looking, right? I spill it out all over the fucking floor. I take the no fat, I pour it into the homogenized container. I'm saving myself $1.50. Nobody knows nothing, where the money went, nothing, right? So now I go to the shampoos. They got every fucking shampoo, right? And I like how they tie them together, the shampoo and the conditioner, and it says, well, after you use Jehova shampoo, use Jehova conditioner. Well, maybe I don't like fucking Jehova conditioner. Maybe I like Pert. But Pert costs a little more, so what do, right? I take the Jehova conditioner. I squirt it all over the floor like it's somebody's load. People are slipping, sliding. I take the Pert, put it in the Jehova fucking bottle. Another $2. Nobody fucks with Dice. Dice does the fucking... Where are you going? You're going to go take a dump? Huh? It's a guy, Jericho. We got a chick jerk-off here, our first of the night. Just listen up, shut your mouth, and pay attention. Maybe you'll do a little better next time. You shut up. You shut your fucking hole. Where did you come from anyway? Exactly. Did you like the Jericho segment? What was it that threw you? The ass eating, I don't know, maybe it was something I said that annoyed him. Have a happy new year. We got him. You know what it was? She was getting excited. That was a way of getting out of here so she could fuck him. Can't party with the big boys, don't show up. It took him an hour to figure out this is filthy. She didn't mind the dogs fucking in the park. But I tell him he's taking a dump, they're aggravated. So anyway, baby, you really dig this guy, huh? She worked during the day? She worked during the day. Can we lose him for a half hour? Because I dig you, you know. I get a vibe when I talk to you. You know, that's electricity all over. You're okay. You're using them, aren't you? You carry his credit cards, huh? Does he ever let you do that? Hey, you're a good girl. He sticks one in your ass. Go have a good time, honey. Hey, you know it and I know it. So who are we bullshitting, baby? Dig me. Can't help it, right? Look. We got the eye thing happening, you know? You wearing drawers under those pants? Yeah, I bet you got those Calvins creeping up your ears. Yeah. You turn me on, but don't get crazy. You're not the only one in the room. She was coming on to me when you went to the bathroom. That's why they're all whores. She sat nice and quiet till you went to drop a load. Right? And look what she does. You...
All right, that was a little Andrew Dice Clay, and then the theme from Curb Your Enthusiasm, or at least part of it. I didn't want to. Clip I had is a short one, but we got just about 29 minutes to go. Internet radio nowhere. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me on Friday night. I don't know where my partner is. Apparently, he's going to be a no-show. He's had some internet issues as well. I was talking to him earlier today, and he said this. Phone and his modem at home have been giving him trouble, so maybe that's why he is absent this evening, but oh well, we'll make it through the next 29 minutes without him. I got enough shit to play that I can get by, so I got another Jimmy Buffett song for you here. This is one he's got some songs that he's done about his kids, and this is one that I always liked because it's called Jimmy Dreams, and I always think of my son when I play this. So here's Jimmy Dreams.
One, two, three, four.
Jimmy Dreams. He's a child to the end. What a joy when you are your best friend. The world's such a toy. If you'll just stay a boy, you can spin it again and again. Jimmy flies with no use for disguise, just escapes using mirrors and capes. And the words do the trick. There is no bigger kick than just rhyming again and again. Sound of the low tide, the smell of the rain, traveling alone on my boat and my plane. Take it all in. Jimmy stares towards the bright Pleiades. It's so strange what his distant eye sees. Who knows why you start rediscovering your heart, but you do.
traveling alone on my boat in my plane. Take it all in, it's as big as it seems. Count all your blessings, remember your dreams. Jimmy stares towards the bright Pleiades. It's so strange what his distant eye sees. Who knows why you start rediscovering your heart? You just do it again and again. The world's still a toy if you'll just stay a boy. That's why Jimmy.
Jimmy Buffett, Jimmy Dreams, Internet Radio Nowhere, 25 minutes to go, and we're having fun on a Friday night. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. And there was another story that I had found on the Internet today that I was reading, and I wanted to share with you guys. There was this story actually made headlines, I think it was, I want to say it was about a year ago, but now it's in the headlines again. There's a couple in New Jersey. Their names are Heath and Deborah Campbell, and they are members of the Aryan race, nation, whatever. And they named their kid Adolf Hitler Campbell. And the reason why they first got into trouble was they went into ShopRite to buy the kid a birthday cake. And the people at ShopRite refused to write "Happy Birthday, Adolf Hitler" on the birthday cake. And that was how, like, the story came out, and these people came to be known as you know, having kids that they have a daughter that's named Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation Campbell and Hans Lynn Hindler Campbell. Well, now it turns out they have lost custody of their children. Because the Division of Youth and Family Services has decided that neither has received adequate treatment for their serious psychological conditions, and that there's rumors of other abuse. And apparently this four-year-old kid, as soon as he gets around people, I guess black people, Hispanic people, Jewish people, whatever, he starts screaming racial epithets at them and that he's going to kill them. And he says that his dad has taught them how to kill people and things like that. And I can't understand what goes through people's heads. How do you name your child Adolf Hitler? I mean, you know, this may not be the most politically correct thing to say, but it is every person on this planet's God-given right to dislike somebody because of who they are. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not going to debate that point, okay? You don't like somebody because they're black. You don't like somebody because they're Hispanic. You don't like somebody because they're white. You don't like somebody because they're Irish. You don't like somebody because they're German, they're Swahili, they're Vulcan, whatever. But you don't impose that on your children. That kid's 3 years old. He's got to grow up with the name Adolf Hitler because you're a fucking skinhead? I mean, it's just asinine. That is – And if somebody in the state of New Jersey actually printed that kid's name on a birth certificate somewhere, they should be arrested as well. That's just my opinion. That is just out-and-out child abuse. If a person wants to be a racist, again, it's their God-given right, okay? But you don't make – I don't think you should force that on a three-year-old who doesn't know any better. Let a child decide who he's going to like and dislike when he gets older. I just think, I mean, and you know, and you talk about racial epithets. I don't think there's a person who walks this face of the earth. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jewish, Catholic, Buddhist, Hindu, I don't care. I don't think there's a person that walks this earth that has not used a racial slur at one point or another, whether it be the N-word, whether it's spick, mick, frog, nignog, jigaboo, jungle bunny, you name it, any of them. I don't think, a Pollock, whatever. But you don't force that on a three-year-old. Let a kid grow up and make his own choices and make his own decisions. These people should be put. And the other thing was, is that they brought these brain surgeons into court, and they said to the woman, the mother, they told her that she had a choice. She could either keep her children and leave her husband, or lose her children if she stayed with the husband, and she chose to stay with the husband. So, in my opinion, she should have a car battery hooked up to her breasts and be jolted until sanity comes back over her. I mean, it's just ridiculous. My wife just said, hook it up to her uterus. LeBron Blows is offended with all these racial slurs. Look, I'm just naming them. I'm just throwing them out there. We've all used them, okay? There's not a person alive who hasn't used one of them. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe in. You could be the most peace-loving person in the world. I don't care. Somebody at some point, you've used one of those words. Honky, cracker, pale face, whatever. Dothead, raghead, a wetback, brown babies, black babies, tar babies, mud ducks. I could go on, and I could do a whole show on these. I know a lot of them, but my point is, I know LeBron. I know you were kidding. Twat shock. What the hell is twat shock? You guys are killing me. Yes, Nick, you missed my opening rant at the top of the show. Sorry, you got to be here in the beginning. I couldn't wait to tell the story, Nick. You know, I couldn't wait. LeBron uses them daily. That's funny, but. Or as Daniel Tosh would say, that's funny because it's racist. All right. We got less than 20 minutes to go. I think we're actually going to make it tonight without running out of things to talk about. I'm enjoying this. It's a shame Eddie couldn't make it. It's always more fun when he's around. But we are muddling through. I appreciate you guys being here. I thought maybe you guys would get a kick out of this. This is, if you guys have, and I think all of you have, you guys have been around with us at Blue Shirt Banner Radio for a long time, and most of you probably listened to Ranger Crisis Radio when Eddie had a separate show. And a couple weeks ago on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, I played the clip of the very first time I spoke to Eddie, and we had it was pretty funny. And now, so let me play this for you guys. Here's the very first time I called into Eddie's show.
Anyway, let's take our first caller. We got two callers lined up. We're going to go with the 954 area code. You are on the air with the mouth live, I think. There you go.
On with the mouth. It's Jim from Blue Shirt Banter. How are you, buddy?
Let me tell you something. Gentleman Jim, the gem, whatever you call him, the guy knows his puck. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, and you did an almost good, an almost perfect pronunciation of the last name. We'll call it close. We'll close enough.
You know, I'll take it because I'm telling you, I'm having a little trouble with this really complicated software. The click and drag is driving me nuts over here.
Speaking of drag, we already talked about the Islanders. That's talking about things in drag.
You know, Jim, I want to talk to you about something we briefly touched on your show, and I'm going to tell you this. Blue Shirt Radio is a great program. If I wasn't doing my program, I'd be listening to that show every day, podcast. These guys are doing a bang up. They were actually my inspiration.
We love it. We love the fact that we've inspired you, and now it's great. I could sit back and relax and listen to your show. And I called in so I could loosen up a little bit. I don't have to be Mr. Blue Shirt Panther. I could just be one of the mouths, one of the minions out here listening to your show.
I do appreciate I do appreciate the Minions comment because I do have somewhat of an ego, but it's kind of freeing not to be the host, as I'm finding out pretty quickly, 13 minutes into the show.
That's okay. I'm here to help. You know, a lot of people don't realize that me and the Mouse, we go way back. We've known each other for years. We met at an anorexia rehab clinic, the two of us, which I'm proud to say we both beat.
With tremendous success.
We beat it to a healthy 500 pounds between the two of us. Now the only things we battle are who gets the last yodel and which one of us has to take out Kirstie Alley and which one gets stuck with Wynonna Judd.
Exactly, and those are two lookers, and I really appreciate them. Usually I don't date women skinnier than myself, but with those two young ladies, they're very felt. But we do appeal to those type of women. Now, I want to...
There you go. That was the first time I talked to Eddie. That was probably, July or August of last year. And Kirstie Alley, yeah, she does have money, I guess. She keeps making fat reality shows. She was quite the looker back in Star Trek II, but that's a very, very long time ago now. That's almost 30 years ago, that movie, when she made her debut. Yeah, my wife's looking at me like I'm crazy, but it was 1982 that movie came out. So, yeah, it's almost 30 years ago. Con! Anyway, all right, we got 15 minutes to go, and since I played one for my son, here's another Jimmy Buffett song for my daughter, and this is Little Miss Magic.
Constantly amazed by the blades of the fan on the ceiling, the clever little glances she gives me can't help but be appealing. She loves to ride into town with the top down, feel that warm breeze on her gentle skin. She is my next of kin. I see a little more of me every day. I catch a little more mustache turning gray. Your mother is the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Sometimes I catch her dreaming and wonder where that little mind meanders. Is she strolling along the shore or cruising o'er the broad Savannah? I know someday she'll learn to make up her own rhyme. Someday she's gonna learn how to fly. Oh, that I won't deny. I catch a little more dialogue coming my way. I see those big brown eyes just start to look in astray. Your mother's still the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Yes, she loves to ride into town with the top down. Feel that warm breeze on her gentle skin. She is my next of kin. Constantly amazed by the blades of the fan on the ceiling. The clever little look she gives just can't help but be appealing. I know someday she'll learn to make up her own rhyme.
One day she's gonna learn how to fly. That I won't deny. I see a little more of me every day. I feel a little more mustache turning gray. Your mother's still the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, just can't wait to see. It's raining, it's pouring, your old man is snoring.
I gotta tell you something, you are gorgeous, and you're a great actress and everything, but I got a wife at home, I can't cheat on my wife.
Then leave your underwear on.
What?
If you leave your underwear on and you can't cheat, it's just like going swimming.
I don't know what it was, but she started making a lot of sense.
Now hear this. This is your captain speaking. My fine pinioned pirates, we're approaching the tricky buoy. Sharpen your cutlasses. There may be skullduggery ahead.
That was Burgess Meredith as the Penguin from the Batman movie that came out in the 60s with Adam West and Burt Ward. And if you watch Family Guy, you'll get the Adam West joke. But now we got a little less than 10 minutes to go. Internet Radio Nowhere. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on Friday night. This has been a blast again. And you guys were talking about Eastbound and Down. It's coming back, I think, next month. Shows on HBO, and the star, his name just completely went out of my head. Danny something. He was in the Land of the Lost movie with Will Ferrell. He's really funny on that Eastbound and Down show, though. He plays a washed up major league pitcher trying to make his way back. And yeah, he was in Tropic Thunder. That's right. Yeah. I can't think of his name now, but the show's really funny, and I am convinced that guy bases Kenny motherfucking Powers is John Rocker. Danny McBride. There you go. Thank you, Woot. Danny McBride. Yeah, he's funny. He also does some voiceover. I've heard his voice on a couple of commercials lately. But he's a pretty funny guy, and he's got the curly mullet on the show, and he's just it's a really funny show. It's really raunchy, and there were some good episodes last year, so I'm looking forward to that coming back. And yeah, I'm completely convinced that just the things he says and the way he acts and things like that, that I think it's based loosely, very loosely based on the life and times of John Rocker, or as I used to call him, John Cockbag. So I hated that son of a bitch, but I'm a Met fan, so we all had to hate him. It was part and parcel being a Met fan. He was just one of those guys you hated. Like, here's another one for you. Is anybody, I don't know if you guys were old enough to remember Charlie Kerfeld. You guys remember him? He was a pitcher with the Astros. Came up in, I think, 86 or 85, and he was kind of another loose cannon, hated New York, and made a lot of comments about, I think one of his famous comments about New York was that everybody from New York had green teeth and pissed on the subways or something. He said something like, everybody from New York has green teeth and pisses on the subway, and the men are even worse, or something like that. Charlie Kerfeld was his name. He was a big fat guy, wore big glasses, and pitched for the Houston Astros back in the 80s, and he was on that team that played the Mets in the playoffs in 1986. He was one of their relief pitchers. And the Mets always had a hard time getting to him, too, but his career didn't last very long. I have to look him up and see whatever happened to him, but he was another guy you love to hate as a Met fan. Charlie Kerfeld, let me see here, from Knob Noster, Missouri. That's right, I remember that, yeah. I remember Tim McCarver talking about that. But he was from he was a first-round pick of the Astros, and his last major league appearance was in 1990. So he only had a five-year career. He was 18-9 with 155 strikeouts. He had elbow, neck, and weight problems, and that's what pretty much derailed his career. And he was also known, yeah, I remember this, he was remembered for wearing his a Jetsons T-shirt under his jersey. The racist pitcher, LeBron, was John Rocker. He was the one that made the comment about the 7 train sitting next to some, you're sitting next to, there's a guy sitting next to you with green hair or something like, or pink hair, and then the other guy's got AIDS or something like that, and he made some gay comments and stuff like that. So, all right, just about 5 minutes to go. So to finish up my celebration, and it's been a great day for me. Like I told you guys before, my boss got shit canned today, and I couldn't be happier about it. And so we're gonna kind of come full circle with the show tonight, just as we finish up, and I'm gonna kind of finish right where we started. And sorry for the repeats of the songs, but it's appropriate today, so here we go.
I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go. This away, 'cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, 'cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
I just brought this up in the chat room. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. There's a movie called The Dream Team. It came out in the 80s, and it's with Michael Keaton, and Christopher Lloyd is in it, and I'm trying to think of Stephen Furst from Animal House. He's in it, and let me think. Peter Boyle is in it, and it's about they all play patients in a mental institution in New York who are on their way to they go to a Yankee game. It's like an outing. And on the way home, I think, from the Yankee game, I think the van they're in breaks down, and the psychiatrist who's like the head of their group winds up getting beat up, and the cops think that the mental patients did it, and they're chasing them all through New York. It's a pretty funny movie, but one of the best parts of the movie is they're riding in the van on the way to the Yankee game, and Hit the Road Jack is playing in the car, and it's just a really funny scene because they're all sitting there like singing it, and Stephen Furst is pretty funny. He's a big Yankee fan who he never talks except in like the only thing he'll ever say is like lines from a baseball game. Like you can't get him to say anything. But if there's trouble, he'd say something like, "Oh, Guidry's in trouble now. The bases are loaded and two out, you know, only one out," or something like that. It's a pretty funny movie. If you catch it on cable sometime, or if you ever get a chance, if you find it on Netflix or something, it's pretty funny. I recommend it. But we have come to the end of the show. We got just about 2 minutes to go, and I'm gonna play a song that's gonna take us out. I want to thank you guys for listening and joining me on your Friday night. I do appreciate it. We will see you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I don't know what we're going to talk about Wednesday night because there's really nothing going on with the Rangers, so we'll just have to BS our way through Wednesday night. But then the following week, August 18th, we've got Ron Greshner for you. And then on August 25th, which is the day after my 40th birthday, by the way, my personal favorite guest of ours, Emil Francis, the former player, coach, GM, jack of all trades for the Rangers, he will join us once again. And like I said before, if you didn't hear his other two appearances on our show, go check him out on the podcast. He is absolutely a fantastic guest, and I absolutely love talking to him. He's just so much fun. We have such a good time. He's got such great stories to tell, and he's Ranger royalty, and it doesn't get any better than that. But guys, I'll see you Wednesday night. Thanks again, and here I'm gonna play that Beck song again as we go. Here's Farewell Ride. Goodbye, bastard.
Do I have horses in a line?